Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. We have a busy docket, so let's get right to it. First, no more video, apparently, at least live streaming, for the Lori Vallow Chad DeBell matter. We'll talk about it. Cuba Gooding Jr. gets a sweet deal. The Petito v. Laundrie civil case moves forward. I'll explain why that is. And so I guess this really works, which is a good thing. Anthony Tott, that trial's over, and the verdict is in. Remember Taylor Shaw business? She had this thing with a boyfriend. Well, guess what? She's back and she's competent too. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. It is April 15th, 2020. But before we can open the record, you know the drill. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. If you like the video, hit the thumbs up, leave me a comment, hit that little bell. And oh, by the way, if you can't watch us or you want to listen to old episodes, that's right. You can download us on any of your favorite podcasting apps, but you can always listen to us here on YouTube as well. Before we get started, let's support the people that support the channel. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. Let's open the docket for Friday, April 15th, 2022. First, more Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters. Now, the one thing that's been real nice so far in the whole Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell proceedings is that we've been able to watch it live via the court's YouTube channel. But that apparently is coming to an end. So Judge Boyce has approved a media request to record upcoming hearings for the Chad DeBell and Lori Vallow matter, but the outlets will not be allowed to stream the proceedings live. Now, Judge Boyce issued some orders regarding courtroom conduct for the upcoming hearings in Lori and Chad's case for Tuesday. Now, both hearings are in person at the Fremont County Courthouse. Now, the judge authorized a video camera operator and a still photographer to take pictures and record the hearings if they are released after the proceedings are over, but the media is not allowed to broadcast them live. Boy, that's disappointing. The public can attend the hearing as long as seats are available, but attendees must comply with the court's orders. Now, we'll see if we're going to get there. Bags will be checked at the courthouse. Cell phones must remain off the entire time, and seats cannot be reserved, and any behavior that is considered disruptive will simply not be tolerated. The hearing starts at 9 a.m. On Monday, and the arraignment for Lori is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. That's where she will more than likely enter a plea of not guilty, and the case is off. Now, the hearing at 9 a.m. is the hearing regarding the change of venue. Now, the prosecution filed a motion to continue that hearing because they said, hey, we want Lori Vallow's attorney to participate, and they're just getting up to speed, and basically, we should continue it so everybody can think about it. And my first thought was, boy, I sure hope the judge denies that motion. And guess what? He did. I like Judge Boyce. He had a moment, I think, where he is saying, we're moving this case forward. Let's go. So that hearing will be at 9 a.m., and that will have witnesses regarding the cost and inconvenience to the counties to hold the trial in Ada County versus only selecting the jury in Ada County and inconveniencing those jurors back in Fremont in Madison County to reside there and be sequestered. I don't know what the judge is going to do, but money shouldn't be the factor. Some other interesting news is that the attorney that's currently assigned to Lori Vallow's case, Mr. Archibald, has requested that another death penalty qualified attorney be admitted to practice on the case. The attorney's name is a guy by the name of John Thomas, and apparently he's agreed to assist in the case as co-counsel. And according to Mr. Archibald, he is qualified by the Idaho Public Defense Commission to serve as co-counsel in capital cases. He should be paid the amount of $125 per hour by Fremont County, as Fremont County has insurance through the Capital Crimes Defense Fund. And due to his employment with the Bonneville County, he may be required to share or split his fee or make some other arrangement with Bonneville County. So it's unclear if he is still a public defender or was a public defender or somehow still employed by the county. But either way, Mr. Archibald is asking for co-counsel. That is reasonable. That is completely appropriate given a case of this size. Normally, there are at least two trial counsels and an appellate counsel assigned to any death penalty case. So they're getting up to speed, but they better get moving right along. And hopefully it doesn't result in any more delays. Maybe Mr. Archibald should have done that months ago, at least anticipating that his client was going to be deemed competent or not. Anyway, things are rolling again. Can't wait to see what happens next week. And hey, it's been a crazy week. I don't know if you noticed, we didn't do a video yesterday because, well, it was crazy. I was literally the other part of the state. The weather was crazy. We just got delayed and it didn't happen. So my apologies. All right, next on the docket, let's talk about Cuba Gooding Jr. That's right, the actor. Well, he pled guilty to a lesser charge in his Manhattan sex abuse case Wednesday, and he'll avoid jail time. Now, Cuba faced six counts of sexual assault and forcible touching for non-consensually kissing a woman in a nightclub in 2018, according to prosecutors. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor forcible touching charge in the Manhattan criminal court case. Now, the plea deal, which allows Cuba to keep working, requires him to continue treatment for alcohol abuse if he complies with the terms of the deal. The charge will be reduced to a non-criminal violation in 6 months. Pretty sweet deal, because in some jurisdictions, guess what? That's like go to prison, sex offender registration kind of stuff. So Cuba Gooding Jr. got a good deal. He faced up to several years behind the bars for the groping of these three women at this Manhattan hotspot in 2018 and 2019. He was finally arrested in 2019 for allegedly squeezing a woman's breast at the Moxie Hotel in Times Square. And the actor was also charged with pinching the buttocks of a Tao, T-A-O, downtown server, Natasha Ashworth, in October of 2018, and subjecting a woman to sexual conduct without consent at Lavo nightclub on the Upper East Side. Now, the former district attorney, Cyrus Vance, had initially refused to give the Oscar-winning actor a deal that didn't involve some jail time. But his attorneys negotiated a more lenient deal with the new district attorney, Alvin Bragg. So Cuba had initially pled not guilty to all three alleged incidents, which pushed back his trial date due to the pandemic. And the plea agreement also allowed the women to make a victim impact statement in the case, which is normal. I don't know why it was some great concession. Cuba Gooding Jr. is scheduled to appear back in court on October 13th for sentencing. Quick little fun fact, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s bail bondsman in this case was Ira Jettelson, known as the Bondsman to the Stars, who has worked with celebrity clients including DMX, Ja Rule, and Harvey Weinstein. All right, next on the docket. Remember that case of Petito v. Laundry? Well, the case goes forward. A judge has ordered a jury trial to be scheduled for the lawsuit filed by the parents of Gabby Petito against the parents of Brian Laundry. Now, the suit filed last month by Joseph Petito and Nicole Schmidt claimed that Chris and Roberta Laundry knew the whole time that their son murdered their daughter, Gabby. An attorney for the Laundry family already filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit, and according to the court documents, a trial has been set for the week of August 14th of 2023 at the South County Courthouse in Venice, Florida. The trial is set a year and 4 months away due to scheduling conflicts in the Sarasota County court system. The jury trial is expected to be open to the public and would certainly draw international media attention. And although this is a civil, not a criminal case, this will be the first time the Petito's case makes its way into a courtroom. Now, the trial, or at least the discovery process before the trial, could reveal highly anticipated evidence that Petito and Schmidt claim to have to support their accusations that the Laundries were told their son murdered Gavi Petito and tried to help him flee the United States. While a date has been set, the case still faces the possibility of being dismissed after the Laundries' attorney filed a motion for the dismissal on the grounds that their clients exercised their constitutional right to refrain from speaking and continually relied upon counsel to speak for them. Now, Judge Hunter W. Carroll responded to the motion for the lawsuit's dismissal by allowing the attorneys for Petito and Schmidt 20 days to file an amended complaint, and he says that was necessary due to perceived procedural deficiencies in the lawsuit. Now, Pat Riley, the attorney for Petito and Schmidt, say he is preparing to file the amended complaint to state separate causes of action on behalf of the Petito family against the Laundries. Now, the attorney also said that he has high confidence level the lawsuit will reach a jury if it doesn't get settled out of court. So you have to remember, when this case first came out, my first thought was, what is the cause of action? Okay, a motion to dismiss should be filed in this particular case because, well, somebody maintaining their silence is not a crime. We don't do that in America. Even a civil penalty should not be imposed. Now, the court set a trial date. That's a procedural matter. But when the court is telling you you need to file an amended complaint to correct your causes of action, that's the judge's way of saying to the plaintiff's attorney, I'm going to give you one opportunity to fix it. If you don't fix it, I'm probably going to dismiss it. We'll wait and see what happens. All right, so I guess this really works, and I'm glad it does. Okay, apparently there's the TikTok hand signal. So there was a woman in Hickman, Tennessee, and she was visiting her brother when her ex-boyfriend picked her up in a truck and they got into a physical confrontation. While driving on the highway, Jonathan Smith threatened the woman with a screwdriver and would not let her out of the truck. Now, Smith drove to the Twice Daily gas station and they both went inside. The woman used a hand signal made popular on the app TikTok that can be used to show others that the signaler is suffering from domestic abuse. Fortunately, the gas station clerk picked up the signal and called the police. Smith seemed to pick up on what was going on, and the clerk tried to stall for time. As Mr. Smith was leaving, a Hickman County sheriff pulled into the gas station, and a 15-minute car chase ensued before Smith's truck crashed into a creek. Following the crash, Smith fled on foot but was tased and captured by police. The 31-year-old has been charged with aggravated kidnapping and aggravated domestic assault. The victim was not hurt in the crash, according to the police, and a customer inside the gas station, a guy by the name of Eric Strievel, who is also part of a motorcycle group that helps women in domestic violence situations, commented on the situation. If you see something, say something. Domestic violence is a bad thing here in Tennessee, as it is in any part of the country or world. And he stated that he has since reached out to the victim on social media and has offered any advice and providing her with local resources and assistance. See, got to keep up on the times, ladies and gentlemen, but that's a good thing. Hey, remember that Anthony Tott guy we talked about over the last couple of years? Because in January of 2020, Mr. Tott was found inside his family's home in Celebration, Florida, with the decomposing bodies of his wife, Megan, their children, Alex, Tyler, and Zoe, and their dog, Breezy. Well, Mr. Tott was arrested and charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of animal cruelty. He pled not guilty to the charges. Well, guess what? Late yesterday afternoon, a jury found Mr. Tott guilty of 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of animal cruelty. Now, following the verdict, Circuit Judge Keith Karsten handed down 4 consecutive life sentences in prison without the possibility of parole, calling Tott a destroyer of worlds and nothing, that no one of the lives taken was less valuable than the other. During the trial, Tott shifted all the blame to his wife for killing their children. Tott said that he came home one day to find that his kids were all dead. He described it as the most horrible day of his life, but in videotaped confession shown in court in earlier parts of the trial, that's right, Tott claimed he and his wife decided to kill the kids and themselves because she had been watching videos about how to achieve salvation because of an upcoming apocalypse. Well, The district attorney said that Tott claimed that everyone needed to die in order to pass over to the other side. And also in this confession, Tott claimed he and his wife talked to the children about dying and said the kids told them, "We want to die with you." Now, Mr. Tott and his family moved to Celebration, Florida from Connecticut recently before the murders, and Tott would travel back to Connecticut to try to salvage his failing physical therapy business. And according to court documents, Mr. Tott was deep in debt, and the landlord of the home in Florida had served him with eviction notice on December 26th. A good way to start the year, right? Getting kicked out. Anyway, Mr. Tott's public defender has not made a comment regarding sentencing. There's nothing to do. When this punishment is life without parole, let's go. Let's move to it. We don't need sentencing statements. Let's just get on with it. You know who else may have one of those sentencing hearings? This woman, Taylor Shaw Business. Remember her? That's right. Miss Shaw Business was the Wisconsin woman accused of the gruesome murder of Shad Thiron. She was deemed competent to stand trial by the evaluator. Prosecutors alleged that Miss Shaw Business murdered her boyfriend, who she admitted having sex with the body for several hours, and then mutilated his corpse over the course of a methamphetamine-fueled rampage earlier this year. Now, according to the criminal complaint filed in the case, Ms. Shaw Business admitted trying to bring her victim to a state of unconsciousness during sex by choking him with a metal chain, but unfortunately she failed, and he blacked out and, well, basically found that he was dead. Anyway, Ms. Shaw Business will still undergo additional series of tests to make sure that she is mentally fit to be prosecuted and charged with first-degree murder, intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, and third-degree sexual assault. Her lawyers have requested a second examination regarding competency, and the lawyer noted that the client has been receiving mental health treatment since she was a seventh grader and was previously diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Now, the DA said that they respected the results of the evaluation and didn't feel strongly whether or not to have a second evaluation because apparently the prosecutors must be okay with that being done. Well, Ms. Shaw Business is currently being detained on a $2 million cash bond in a Wisconsin jail. Presumption of innocence, but it's hard to do that sometimes when they confess, you have to admit. All right, dumb criminal of the week. Quick wrap up. First, Monday, Susan Fruendahl and her girlfriend were apparently fighting over some fidelity issues. Fruendahl used the cat as a weapon and scratched up the victim's face. Tuesday, deputies in Florida arrested a man by the name of Mr. Marolo, and when they did so, they found two firearms, meth, and a baby alligator in a plastic tub in the bed of the truck. Wednesday, Kiara Thomas was at her 12-year-old's softball game when things got a little out of control and she punched the volunteer umpire in the face. And in her mugshot, that's right, she wore a shirt that said Mother of the Year. It's kind of my favorite, I'm not going to lie, all right? But vote your own way, but that's my favorite. And then today, a Florida man has been posing as a Drug Enforcement Administrative agent to get what, you might ask? That's right, discounts at the local Wendy's. Police say a guy by the name of Jesse Stover, who's 57, okay? And he's been receiving a 50% off discount for his fast food order when he would flash his badge to employees for more than 2 years. Now, a manager asked to see the badge this past week, and Stover became argumentative, and the manager ultimately called 911. The manager even told police that Stover would threaten to report employees who wouldn't give him his discount. Man, you think if it was working, just work it, man. Just don't push it. Work it, but don't push it. Well, guess what? Cops found a fake concealed weapon permit, the badge on Stover, and was arrested for criminal impersonation of an officer. He was released on a $2,500 bond. Yep, there's your dumb criminals, ladies and gentlemen. You know who I'm voting for, but your vote counts, so vote. Leave me a comment below. We'll tally them up and bring you the results next week. All right, thanks for watching. It's been a busy week. Sorry we missed yesterday. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.